Well, open your Bible here, and it's hard not to approach a little bit of a seasonal context when we come up on Christmas here, so we're going to do the same, and again, forgive me if I'm a little bit nasally here, but just pressing through. Thank you, Alan, for preaching last week. Appreciate that. I had zero voice last week, but I am pushing through in Jesus' name. You'll say, heal the preacher. All right. Heal the preacher. All right. Very good. Well, we are all familiar with Luke 1 and how the angel Gabriel came to a virgin named Mary and announced to her that she would be with child and give birth to a son and would give him the name Jesus. We're familiar with the narrative. And next we find that Mary visits her cousin Elizabeth, and we all enjoy the part how when Mary came into Elizabeth's home, at the mere greeting that Mary extended to Elizabeth, Elizabeth felt the baby in her womb leap. That was John the Baptist in her womb. At the very greeting of Mary, it says, the baby leapt in my womb for joy. And it says, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And I just love that. As Mary drew near and the cousin of Christ identified the destiny and the promised child. And so I love that. But if we're not careful, we'll miss what Elizabeth said in the conclusion of that exchange. And Elizabeth next declared over Mary, she said to her in Luke 1:45, she said, blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Can we say that out loud together? Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said will be accomplished. Lord, we pray that we would treasure and honor your word, Lord, in the fear of the Lord, in the same way that, Lord, your handmaiden Mary did. Lord, that we would not gloss over this powerful statement. It's so critical to our well-being. Lord, we move and live and have our being by the word of the Lord. So we ask you to encourage our faith, Lord, to have strong confidence in you today and every day. In Jesus' name, everyone said, amen. So basically, she was saying, blessed is the person who believes the word of the Lord. Blessed are you when you not merely hear the word, but you believe it, you cling to it, you bring it in, and you act on it. You are blessed when you believe it. So basically, the spirit of prophecy came on to Elizabeth because it wasn't granted that this greeting that Mary received from the angel Gabriel would be well received, but it was with Mary. And so God found in Mary someone who would believe. How many of you know that for us being Christians, belief is a big part of the equation of our Christian faith? We want to be believing believers. Mark 16 talks about, and these signs will follow those who, what? Believe in my name. It doesn't say these signs will follow Christians, because sometimes you can have unbelieving believers. I know that's an oxymoron, but it's possible. But there's something powerful about belief and the power of belief and the transference of confidence from ourself to that truism, to that belief that produces something in our lives. And as in an evangelical settings, Christians, we are referred to as believers because we believe in a certain set of absolute truths that make up the historic Christian faith. We are a creedal community. How many of you grew up saying maybe one of the historic creeds? I grew up in the Methodist Church reciting the Apostles' Creed. And what that was doing every week, it was reaffirming, I believe this about God. I believe this about His Son. I believe this about the Holy Spirit. I believe this about the Virgin Mary. I believe this about Him returning, and et cetera, et cetera. And so we remember in the Apostles' Creed, it's very emphatic, and it's making a declaration. It's like putting a stake in the ground. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, crucified, dead, and buried, et cetera, et cetera. But there's a declaration of putting our stake in the ground. I believe we are a creedal people. We, like Mary, believe. Therefore, we, like Mary, are to be blessed. Mary was blessed because she believed. God's blessing comes upon belief. So critical. As a man thinketh in his heart, in the core of him, what we meditate on, our worldview, the things that dictate our choices are so critical. But there's a blessing that comes on the one who moves forward with God in faith. And for our purposes here, belief is agreement with truth, which in turn acts. Belief is agreement with truth. And because I believe that it's true, therefore I'm willing to act on it. One time there was this gentleman by the name of Blondin who would walk a tightrope over Niagara Falls. And he would say, how many of y'all think I can walk over there and even come all the way back? And they'd raise their hand. He'd say, how many of y'all believe that I can go over the tightrope and back with someone on my back? And a lot of the people bystanding would raise their hand. He'd say, great, you get on my back. They're like, no. But this is where God calls our bluff, that if we really believe, we're willing to take an action step on that thing that we're agreeing with that is true. God's blessing, it comes on that. How easy it would seem for us to obtain God's blessing if we believe what he's calling us to. Mary was so excited about the word of the Lord. Now, she didn't initially know how it was going to happen because she was a virgin. So she wasn't questioning Gabriel in unbelief, but she was just curious. I'm being a virgin. How will this happen? Well, the Holy Spirit will overshadow you. Okay, I was just curious, just based on anatomy and biology. And so, but when the word of the Lord came to her, she was excited about that word, so much so that she broke forth into song. So belief even found expression in song. Belief for her even found expression in singing. And here we see above verse 46, the caption, it says, whose song here? It says Mary's song. And in verse 46, it reads, and Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble state of his servant. From now on, all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is his name. His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation. He has performed mighty deeds with his arm. He has scattered those who are proud in their inmost thoughts. He has brought down rulers from their thrones, but has lifted up the humble. He has filled the hungry with good things, but has sent the rich away empty. He has helped his servant Israel, remembering to be merciful to Abraham and his descendants forever, even as he has said to our fathers. And so here, she even references Abraham and his descendants, because both she and Joseph were of the lineage, they were of the line of David. Remember that out of the line, out of the lineage of David would come the promised Messiah, the Christ child. And so the same faith we saw in Abraham in Genesis 12. Remember when God told Abraham, leave your country, leave your family, you know, leave your home, go to this place that I'm going to send you. And of course, Abraham didn't know where that was. He just struck out in faith. But the same faith we saw in Abraham in Genesis 12 is the same faith we see in Mary here in Luke 1. Abraham believed, and the call of God, he believed in God and he believed in the call of God. And Genesis 15:6 says what? That it was credited to Abraham as what? As righteousness. He believed, and here comes the blessing. It's credited to him as righteousness. Mary believed and was blessed among women. Here we see Luke 1:42. And in a loud voice she exclaimed, "Blessed are you," this is Elizabeth, "blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear." So blessing comes on our believing. But of course, there's no promise for doubt or unbelief. It comes on believing and acting out on that belief. Hebrews says that we're not of those that shrink back and are destroyed, but of those that believe and are saved. There's something about forward movement in God. We understand the whole armor of God. There's nothing on the back. There's no place of retreat. And God is moved and God is honored. And here the author of Hebrews says in chapter 10, so do not throw away your confidence. It will be richly rewarded. You need to persevere so that when you have done the will of God, you will receive what he has promised. For in just a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one will live by faith. And if he shrinks back, I will not be pleased with him. But we are not of those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who believe and are saved. So number one today, blessing comes on believing. Can we say that out loud together? Blessing comes on believe. It comes on our believing. It comes upon our faith. It comes upon our belief. Secondly, I want to say about the call of God and the plan of God and the presence of God. God's plan can be disruptive. Have you ever found that to be the case in your life? The presence of God, the call of God, the plan of God was even somewhat disruptive. And we can have romantic ideas about the call of God, and they are romantic enough, but it can be disruptive. I mean, you can imagine here in this narrative. I mean, here we find Mary, and most scholars put her about 13 years old. I mean, you know, we have an image of Mary maybe, you know, 32 or 27. They have her about 13 years of age. She comes from very humble means, probably poor means, probably not very educated, yet we know that she knows Old Testament because we saw traces of Scripture in her song of praise earlier. She's betrothed to be married to Joseph. And so here she is carrying this child. Scandal will certainly ensue. Divorce would certainly follow. She's a virgin, but only she and God know that for the moment. And of course, we know that God has to intervene and give Joseph, our man, a vision and a dream and impart to him the origin of the child. But disgrace and disrepute could have been her lot. Now, this was very, now we look at it and we read it and it's a sweet little Christmas story. But can you imagine being 13 years old, you're betrothed to be married, and in Israeli culture and custom, this is a big deal. All that goes around, all the pomp that goes around and all the trappings of this ceremony, even the engagement is very hallowed. And so this was very disruptive. She's noble. She's an honorable young lady. And then the word of the Lord comes. I mean, basically, she's minding her own business. Minding her own business. And the word of the Lord comes. It was not in her daytimer that day. The angel Gabriel will show up and give me a grandiose decree. It was not in the plans. She was just walking out her life and being fearful of the Lord and being chaste and noble and honorable. And the word of the Lord found its way to her. Many times we're just biding our time, being faithful, being diligent, and all of a sudden the word of the Lord or the plan of God or an assignment from God will just come without our being aware, without our knowledge, and it breaks in. And so we read the story here in chapter 1. We pick it up in verse 26, where it reads, "In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph. A man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be," Mary asked the angel, "since I'm a virgin?" The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she who is said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. When the word of the Lord comes, many times life as we know it is over. When the word of the Lord comes, when the assignment comes, when he brings a new plan, all of a sudden there's a shift. You see, I was reading this past week about Elijah and Elisha. And Elisha was to be the successor to Elijah, but Elisha didn't know it. And so here you have this older prophet, Elijah, and he had seen many things take place. And God has told him to prepare his house because he's going to take him on to the house. And so you've got Elisha, who had 12 pairs of oxen. He's a businessman, and he's plowing, and he's just attending to his business, plowing. And he had great resources. 12 yoke of oxen was a lot back then. But here he is. He's minding his business. He's doing what he knows to do to be faithful. And he looks in the distance, and here comes that. Who is that coming toward me? Well, it looks like the prophet Elijah. I wonder why he's coming over here to my home. Why is he coming over here to my fields? And anytime you had a prophet come into your proximity, sometimes it could be a little fearful thing, like, why are you here? Is everything good? Is everything well? And he sees this prophet Elijah coming to him, and all of a sudden he sees him take off his coat. And he's thinking, what's he doing with that coat? He's got that coat in his hand. He's got that mantle. And all of a sudden, before Elijah was even aware of it, Elijah throws that coat onto Elisha. And the anointing of God and the call of God come on Elisha. It's undeniable. And he's thinking, dear me, I'm just doing my business. I'm just trying to be diligent. I'm just trying to be faithful. And all of a sudden, the word of the Lord comes. All of a sudden, the plan of God comes. All of a sudden, a new direction comes. And that mantle comes on Elisha. And he doesn't buck it. And he tells Elijah, I want to follow you wherever you go. And he begins to sacrifice his oxen and offers it up as an offering unto the Lord. So when the word of the Lord comes, all of a sudden business as we know, life as we know, is over. We think, I'm going to major in this. I'm going to study this. And God says, take a dog leg right. I've planned out my path. I've got my 5-year and my 10-year plan. How many of you know the point from A to B is rarely a straight line? God reserves the right to say, take a right here, take a left here. I need you over here. I've put an assignment on you here. There have been times you thought maybe you were going into a season of reprieve, and God goes, no, we're going to ramp it up. You're going to be busier than ever. There are times you thought one thing, a man plans his ways, but the Lord orders their steps. And thank God for that. Thank God for the Holy Spirit that will lead us into all truth. Thank God that there's a master plan, a master design that God holds in his sovereignty. And so Mary is minding her own business, and the word of the Lord comes, and life as she knows it, it's over. It's disruptive. But here's the thing, it's wholly disruptive. It's disruptive, yes, but it's a holy disruption. Can you say holy disruption? I mean, when God busted up into my life 30-something years ago, it was a disruption from the path that I was going in, from the direction I was going in. And I couldn't figure it all out. And I was upset because I was trying to juggle the call of God and still wanting to live for myself. I felt this pull, but I also felt the pull of the world. And it was a miserable place to be in, straddling the fence. Have you ever been there? And of course, Elijah himself said, why hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, serve him. But I was straddling the fence and I was miserable. How dare that guy chase me down and give me that word? How dare he put that yoke on me and say, God's called you? How dare he try to call me up? And there was confusion. But see, God's not a God of confusion. Why was there confusion? Because I was still holding on to the idols, you see. So I was creating the confusion by the lack of willingness to obey the Lord. So there was a disruption that took place, but it was a holy disruption. And ultimately, the things that I had to let go of were the very things that were trying to take me out. Are we here? The very things we let go of in that holy disruption many times are the things that would have taken us down. And that's where the belief comes in. That's where the trust comes in. I remember reading the biography of Derek Prince, incredible Bible teacher. And he talked about how there was no one Christian in his family but his grandmother. And he has an image. And he came from this high pedigree and very just highbrow English and society in England. And he said, I have this memory of going past the room of my grandmother and she would be on her knees praying. And he said, somehow I knew, because I can't prove it, but somehow I just instinctively knew she was praying for me. I just knew she was praying for me. And he said, I'm convinced that it was her prayers that drove a wedge between my soul and the world. I love that. I'm convinced that it was her prayers that drove a wedge, in other words, a disruption between the world and my soul, where I was finally able to let go. But the call of God is holy, but it's also disruptive. And so I think it's funny sometimes when we have this romantic notion, you know, of the call of God. It can be disruptive. It was for Mary. It was for Elisha with that 12 yoke of oxen. But oh, there's something weighty about that call. There's something critical about that call. The call of God, the word of the Lord, it changes things. Certainly did for me. Had to make tough decisions, but yet a mantle got thrown onto me. The word of the Lord came to me. It changes things. It did for Mary. Yet her response was remarkable. Personally, I fought for 9 months. And I remember someone saying, well, that's the time, the period of giving birth. So it wasn't that there was anything sacred about it, but it was 9 months of counting the cost, counting the cost, counting the cost. Mary said, let it be. Now, when that word came to me 30-something years ago, I wish I could have said, be it unto me according to your word. Let's get on with the plan of God. Oh, bring in the Jesus movie, you know, and just angel dust everywhere. Bring it. Oh, this is wonderful. I'll just walk away from my friends and the world that I've created and all that reputation. This is wonderful. It was wonderful and tough at the same time. I knew it was holy, but it was disruptive, you see. But God knew what was best. Mary just says, let it be. Let it be. In verse 38, I love this in the new revised standard, when it says, then Mary said, here I am, the servant of the Lord. Let it be with me according to your word. Then the angel departed from her. So see, long before the Beatles, you know, took that phrase and tried to make it popular, you got Mary saying, let it be. So she was saying, let it happen. Let it be. The New Living Translation says it this way. I am the Lord's servant, and I am willing to accept whatever he wants. May everything you have said come true. I can't figure it out. You know how it's all going to happen. But may everything you have said, may it come true. I marvel at the grace of God. I marvel at the faithfulness of the Lord. So many times when we don't see, God sees, and He carries us by His mercy. Even in our unbelief, He carries us. When we're faithless, He's faithful still. Can anyone testify today, God's been faithful? Wow, look what He's done. Look what He's done. There were times I just didn't know. I look back, and I'm grateful as I see the hand of the Lord time and time again. I marvel at the grace of God and the goodness of God. It's no small thing. But she was willing. She said, let it be. That was a big deal for her in the light of the disruption to come. And it did come to Mary. It wasn't just in that moment of being betrothed to Joseph, but all during her life she would have these holy disruptions. I mean, on one hand, she was the vessel that God used to bring the Christ child into the world, and that was her son. But on the other hand, it wasn't her son. She could not make certain claims on her own son. And imagine how painful that was when she would try to make a claim on him, and then she'd have to remember, oh yeah, that's the Son of God. I've got to back up. I can't pull him out of that Bible study thinking he's deranged. No, I've got to let him be who he is. I've got to let the plan of God unfold. I mean, can you imagine seeing your own son pick up a cross and be crucified and to be beaten? And she had to remember, oh yes, this was the plan. There were disruptions from the beginning all the way to the end of her life. Even in the temple when she was dedicating Jesus, Simeon came and prophesied that a sword also would pierce your own heart and that her child would be a sign to be spoken against. So you have this young girl pledged to be married to Joseph. The traditional 1-year waiting period has already begun. The engagement would last 1 year and was as binding as the marriage itself. Here comes disruption. Again, not just for now, but for the rest of her life, the presence and the plan of God would disrupt. But again, it was holy. So there's this dichotomy of blessing and disruption, blessing and turbulence happening at the same time. We shouldn't try to separate the two. It's okay. Mary lets God do this in and through her. Let it be. She places her life in His hands. Have you ever allowed God to disrupt your life? How many of y'all have felt that call on something He's called you to, a point of obedience, and it's a little bit shaky, and it's a little bit, oh boy, I don't know. And it's a little bit, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God. It would just be comfortable just kind of going back. But see, Hebrews says, we're not of those that shrink back. We're those that believe and are saved. So if we want to be saved, if we want the blessing, it's in a forward motion. But many times we sense that when He is knocking on the door of our hearts and He's calling us up or He's calling us into something, allowing Him to disrupt. I remember 30-something years ago when the call of God came to my life because I did not know what end was up. I was so in the world that it was complicated. It was just complicated. It was like the tentacles of the world were just, I thought, even if I wanted to serve God, I'm so deeply entrenched, I couldn't get out if I wanted to. And so my brother would make fun of me in that season because he knew I was in La La Land for 9 months just trying to figure it out. I mean, I lost weight. I mean, it was a Gethsemane moment. Because I knew life as I know it is going to be over. And he would jab me and tease me about this incident that happened on Millbrook Drive 30-something years ago and about this guy who came out and approached me, and Burton would go, like, he came in and he messed with you and he left, and he would laugh. He was doing it at my expense. Like, he came in, he messed, and then he left. He came in, he messed, and then he left. I'm like, thanks a lot. And I'm just kind of just, I don't know what end is up. But sometimes the call of God feels like that. He comes in and he messes. He shakes it all up and you're like, oh, the heck with it all. And then he sets everything right the way it needs to be. It's disruptive, but it's holy. It's holy. Don't be intimidated by the chaos. Don't be intimidated by it. Move forward in belief where the blessing comes. You see, we easily sign up for the blessing, but not always the disruption. We have our plans. God has His. God did not have to wrestle Mary. He did have to wrestle me. He did have to wrestle Moses. He did have to wrestle Jacob. He did have to wrestle with Gideon. He did have to wrestle with Jonah. He did have to wrestle with Zechariah. Remember Zechariah, the husband of Elizabeth? You know, she's barren. Your wife is going to have a child too. He's going to be a prophet. How in the world is that going to happen? It wasn't out of wanting to know how you're going to do it. It was out of unbelief. It's like, all right, you're not going to talk anymore. You're going to be mute until the baby comes. He had to wrestle with it. It wasn't as easy. I would rather be disrupted and blessed than left to myself minus the blessing and favor of God. Did you hear that? I would rather be disrupted and blessed than left to myself minus the blessing and favor of the Lord. Disruption is a small price to get the blessing. Mary's disruption quickly turned into a song. Do you have a song? Do you have a story that you can sing? Have you allowed Him to disrupt you in some point of obedience? Maybe not as dramatic as bringing the Christ into the world, but significant still. See, when God breaks up our fallowed ground, it's for sure and profitable planting. Disruption, planting, harvest. No breaking up the fallow ground, no planting, no blessing. They go hand in hand. Can we say, let it be? Let it be unto us, Lord, according to your word, according to your will. Different stages in life. People think when they're in school, oh, if I could just get out and get into the marketplace. People in the marketplace, oh, if I could just be back when I was a student at school. People that are married, oh, if it could just be like it was when it was single. Oh, if it could just be like when there were no children. The thing about it, we come to places where we trust God, where the future's not clear, but we resign and we say, Lord, let it be. Whatever you want to do, let it be. Can we stand to our feet this morning? Maybe the path is real clear before you. Maybe it's not real clear, but the way it's going to get clear is by saying yes to the call and the word of the Lord. And that's the place of blessing. And God will create, even in the disruption of the call, He'll give you a song. He'll give you a story. Everyone in here has a story. Truly, everyone in here has a song. You have a song that's been formed and forged by your story of the call of God coming to your life. May not have been as pretty as it was with Mary, may have been a little disruptive, whatever, but He's given you a song. He's given you a story, and He's proven Himself faithful. And your belief in what He's doing is that place of blessing for your life. And even the unsettled things are holy in God's sight because you've said, let it be. I'm allowing you to do what you want to do, even though I don't discern it all, so that something can be born. Lord, I just pray, even as Mary was pregnant with the Christ child, I thank you. Everyone here, Lord, is pregnant, Lord, with dreams, pregnant with destiny, pregnant with what it is you want to do in their life in the present and in the future, pregnant concerning, Father, the plans that you've ordained before the foundation of the world, plans to prosper them, not to harm them, to give them a future and a hope. Lord, I thank you that everyone here is pregnant with good things, O God, things about to be born in their life, maybe not coming about in the conventional way that we would plan, but in your way and in your plan. And even when it feels disruptive, we trust you still. And as we lay hold of our beliefs, I thank you, it's a place of blessing for us. So like Mary, we say, be it unto me your servant. Let it be unto me according to your will. I trust you to be a great shepherd and a great leader. And everything that you've ordained for us, let it come forth, we pray, in great power. Let it come forth in great proclamation of praise to your honor. May it be a testimony, because we've been in a place of belief. Lord, you just came out of nowhere and you encountered us. And Lord, we'll stay with you the distance. Birth powerful things in us and through us. In us and through us. In us and through us. We're staying with you because you're staying with us. We trust you, God. We trust you. And Lord, I just bless everyone's Christmas season. I bless their tomorrow. Let the joy of the Savior be ours. Let the nearness of your friendship be ours. Let the reality of your presence be, oh, so very near. May we know that you are Emmanuel, God who is with us. Lord, I bless your people, even as you love these people gathered here today. I bless them, even as you do today and every day. In Jesus' name, amen.